Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to YHHTMPC.
Wait. What does that mean exactly?
Oh yeah, you haven't heard This Music Podcast, a show about introducing lesser-known music of lesser-known artists from all over the world. And now, without further ado, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
And welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast. This is episode 2 of season 6. I'm your host, Wayne. I'll be taking the show along tonight, going through all our lovely bits and pieces. That sounded a bit dirtier than it was probably meant to be. But yeah, this is the side of the show. This is
your sex life must be really boring.
This is the side of the show where it's a bit magazine-y, and we'll do different sections, and you know, we'll do an icebreaker and a head-to-head, wild card, intense hardcore, history, artist spotlights, all that sort of thing. See how I played on there, people? Because I'm a professional. That's what I am.
Well done.
Those lovely dulcet tones you can hear, they're laughing and joking in the background. I really, really, really took care not to swear there, Rich, because I know you're on this no swear kick, and I was really, really about to give you a lot of dressing down, and I didn't. So, yeah, I am Wayne, like I say. With me, as always, is Richie. Say hello, Richie.
Hi, Wayne. I'm not on a no swear kick. I'm okay with swears. It's just, we use it too much. I feel, and it doesn't have the same effect. We're fucking here and fucking there and fucking everywhere, and it just sounded common. So I just, yeah.
Thanks for Mary Whitehouse.
Cunt.
we have our other host, as always, for the last season, and this season we have Mike Fives. Hello, Mike.
Hello. I don't believe in the no swearing thing, so I'd just like to say I'm doing fucking brilliantly, and I hope you all are too.
Oh,
excellent.
Edit that.
It's just making Rich's life harder. And I should wish I hadn't brought it up now, but there we go. And as always, we have a special guest on the show. And tonight's special guest is a recurring guest. I think he's been on every season we've done, and this season is no different. Say hello, Goes a Good Speed.
Hello, Goes a Good Speed.
Oh, it's the same old, same old.
Same old, same old. I'm a bit worried that you're cleaning up your podcast. I mean, I'm fine with a bit of swearing, but I don't think there's enough blasphemy. So, Jesus Christ, get on with it.
Got to make sure we offend everybody.
Yeah, exactly. There's another few religions you got to offend.
Hang on.
Yeah. Right, I feel like I've lost control of the show already. So
it's off to a good start.
Right, Goes That, in two lines, tell everybody who you are and what you're about.
Oh, hello, I'm Goes a Good Speed. I am a singer. A songwriter and multi-instrumentalist now from Plymouth, signed to a label called Lights and Lines, and there's a certain person called Mike Five who is the de facto head honcho of Lights and Lines, and I believe he's familiar with your show as well. Hello, Mike.
We don't like to talk about it, to be honest.
I'll find a way to weave it in, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Along with the Artist Writers Club thing.
Album Writing Club, yeah. That's coming back in May, getting a whole other year out of that one.
There you go.
That's enough self-promotion. Right, okay, well, let's move the show along the road. You all know what we're about to do. So this is the icebreaker.
Going to introduce Katie.
I totally forget we've got an AI because she's your baby, she's not mine. So yeah, we also have a robot AI thing that the internet gifted to Rich in the form of Katie. Say hello, Katie.
Hi guys, really glad to be here this evening with you pack of spunk buckets.
Sorry,
Katie, ladies and gentlemen.
How could I forget who you were, Katie, you foul-mouthed lady? Yes, that's Katie. You'll hear more from her throughout the show, no doubt.
That was quite tame compared to last week.
Yes, it was. Let's move along. So let's start with the icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
Right, so this is the icebreaker. It's not an icebreaker. It should have been an icebreaker, but we've turned into a competition and turned into a bit of a quiz now, is what it's done. And whoever drives the show gets to do this. So this week, I have brought the quiz, and I've named this quiz this week, You Can Count On Me. So I have 10 questions that have all got a number somewhere in the answer, or something. That number has got something to do with the question. But the way we're going to play this is, I'll read out the question. If you know the answer, shout your name. Tell me the answer. If you get the answer right, you get 3 points. If you don't know the answer, then the other two players get a chance to steal this from you. If either one of them answers, they get 2 points, and the other person will get 1 point to keep this interesting. So if you don't get the question right and somebody buzzes in and gets it, they get 2 points, and the person who didn't answer gets 1 point. So we'll go through it that way, okay?
Sorry, you just managed to make a very straightforward and simple quiz sound very, very complicated.
How do you buzz in exactly? I don't know.
Shout your name.
Thanks for listening there, Goda. I'm doing the scoring anyway, Rich, so it's not a problem. Right, here we go. Right, so question one. How many days a week... how many days a week?
Seven.
Incorrect.
Goza, 8.
There you go. So Goza's got 2 points.
What was the question?
Days a week of the Beatles. 8 days a week.
Yeah, right. Bit tough with this one, right? What motorway did Todd Robinson drive on?
What motorway?
Richard?
Rich?
The M4?
No, afraid not.
Mike, M25?
No.
Goza, Highway 69?
No, I don't even got that one, I'm afraid.
What was the answer?
2468 motorway.
Ah, that was my next answer.
Of course it was, yeah. Right then, question three. How many red balloons did Nana...
Mike, 99.
99, well done, Mike. 3 points to Mike. The Spin Doctors sang about to what?
Goza, Princes.
Hey, Beyonce sang about All the Single Ladies, sampling what Stevie Nicks classic?
Tumbleweeds.
No, don't know.
No, anybody want to jump in a guess?
No, I can't get Google up fast enough.
Mike 3.
No, Mike, come on,
Frank. No, you're Mike 5.
Oh, damn. Is it 5? I'll be gutted if it's 5.
No, right. The answer to that one is the age of 17. Okay, Dolly Parton sang the theme tune to a movie debut. And what is the title?
Mike 9 to 5.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Good answer.
Well done, Mike. Okay, the next one, question 7, is how many seconds did Blazing Squad have to go?
Mike, 21.
Wow, Mike's smashing this.
Mike, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I really like that track.
Right, 3 to go, and I think Mike's won it already, to be honest.
I haven't even got a fucking question yet.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus hated how many things about you?
Oh, Mike, oh, no, it's not. Is it 8?
No.
Nope.
No. Goes at 10?
No, afraid not.
No, fucking idea.
I can sort of hear it, but I can't. It's too late now anyway.
I'm going to go with 7 things.
Oh, well done, Rich. 7. Get in there. The 7 Things I Hate About You by Miley Cyrus. Right, question 9. 2 more to go and we're done, people. Thank God for that. The Four Seasons had Oh What a Night in the month... in what month in 1963?
Fuck me,
Mike.
December?
May.
Wayne? Richard? December?
I'll agree that, Rich. Yes, it was December. It's 1963.
Can I just ask, right? So I got that wrong first. Does that mean Richie gets two and I get one?
No, because you just shouted your name and didn't hear your answer. It's lucky for you.
Oh, I said May.
He did say May. He did get completely wrong, yeah.
You did. Okay, so the last question is, Pulp wanted to meet up in the disco in what year?
Mike, 2000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Okay.
Straightforward, good. Very fun quiz, and Mike's absolutely fucking smashed it.
See, I was going to answer that question as 1997 when it came out.
Yeah, that is also what occurred to me as well, only I would have got the year wrong.
Mike finishes on 13 points and is this week's winner, so congratulations, Mike.
Thank you very much. I feel like we really broke the ice there. It was good.
Yeah.
Can't even see any ice anymore. Completely smashed it.
Completely smashed. We all know Goza better.
I'm still reeling from your so solid crew knowledge, Mike. I might not get over that.
Do you know why it was called that?
Do I need to know?
Well, Pat, I think each verse lasts 21 seconds, and when they work that out, when they sort of got the beat together, they turn that into the lyric.
I never cared enough to explore why it was called that, to be honest.
I mean, I've got some new knowledge, Mike, but fuck me, that takes a biscuit, that one does.
I think I was somewhere between the ages of 12 and 15 when that came out, and so it was at every, you know, party, whatever, it was being played.
You were a long way from running your own record label, that's all I know.
Yeah. Right, let's just move on. We're going to move on now to the head-to-head. So the head-to-head, this is where me, Mike and Rich will bring a song that we've had either sent to us or in Mike's case probably is signed to his label because that's what he does.
No, I haven't today.
Oh, you have? Oh, wow. Well, okay, this is new territory for all of us then, people. And we bring it because we like it, we play it on the show, talk a bit about it, and then decide at the end which one's our favourite of the week, and they get a point. At this moment, on episode 2 of season 6, we're in a very strange position where all of us have got a third of a point because we all won last week because we had to give us the winner. So we've all got a third of a point at this moment. I mean, we're all winning, so Richie, you can go first this week.
Okay. The artist I am bringing this week are a band called Dirty Laces with their track All I See.
See the light.
That absolute roller coaster of a song was All I See by Dirty Laces. Katie, you absolute crazy bitch, can you tell me a bit about these guys, please?
North Manchester's Dirty Laces attack with their intensity and drive for musical greatness. Their sound has constantly evolved and matured in their transition from adolescence to manhood. The band encapsulate the liberation of garage rock and proto-punk, but with a refined focus on dynamic changes and instrumental soundscapes found in early progressive rock. Let's say they are the bastard child of Pink Floyd and the Stooges. The band continually sell out venues in their hometown and beyond with their relentless touring and solid work ethic. This has seen them creep up the bill at major festivals, playing to thousands of unfamiliar faces, and rising to the challenge every time. Their records have caught the eye of DJs nationally, regardless of their underground sound. They have become regulars on BBC Six Music, Amazing Radio, and XS Manchester. 2023 is set to be their biggest year yet. Their anticipated debut album is calling, and it will not disappoint. Links to these ball bags can be found in the show notes, along with all the other artists.
There you go.
That's a roller coaster of a boy, wasn't it, as well, Katie?
Yes. I don't really know what to say about this. It's a roller coaster of a song. It goes to so many different places. The instrumentation was just amazing. The sound of those guitars just punctured my soul. It was amazing. I don't usually bring shoegaze. I felt it was a bit shoegaze. I think it's the first time I've brought anything shoegaze to the show. But I just really liked it. And that's as simple. Get my fucking words out. But it's as simple as that. So yeah, Mike, do you want to go next?
I can go next. So this week I've brought you a track by a band called Hippies vs. Ghosts, and the track is called Western Lie.
See the edges of a lonely sky. So many questions always ending why. Hiding under bridges from their western land. Yeah. to that night you see the world's at war.
There you go. That was Hippies versus Ghosts with their brand new single, Western Lie. Hippies versus Ghosts is a Welsh singer, songwriter, producer, guy called Owain Ginsberg. And his album, Green Planets, is coming out soon. I don't think it's out yet. I haven't actually got any information on when that comes out, but it's coming out soon. This was sent to me by a label, Welsh label, who support lots of bands across Wales. And I think the way you pronounce it, because I had to look this up before, is something like, I want to say it's Yrwydfa or something like that, but it's spelled Y-R and then
flawless.
Yeah, space W-Y-D-D-F-A.
You didn't spit nearly enough.
Yrwydfa or something like that. But anyways, which I think is a Snowdonian mountain range, because I did look this up for NMS before. Anyway, really, really cool track. I don't have a lot of information on the track or the artist, to be honest with you. They just sort of pinged it across. But I love it because of the bass line and the complete mad trippiness of the whole thing. And it was just a song that struck me as really, really good. So that's what I brought to the podcast. So there you go. That was Western Lie by Owain Ginsberg, who's also known as Hippies versus Ghosts.
Excellent. Brilliant. I'll go last then, before we make a decision. So I shall be bringing a band called Shoreline Dream and their song Alarm Stop Ringing. Shoreline Dream with their song Alarms Stop Ringing. I'll read this straight from their Spotify blurb at the back. Originated in Barnum, Colorado, a Shoreline Dream is best described as a progressive shoegaze band combining lush samples textures, organic instrumentation, and vocals layered like a synth, similar to the vein of bands such as Ride and Sigur Rós, mixed with an early Dead Can Dance production style. Over the past 16 years, ASD have churned out numerous releases under their own label, Late Night Weekend Records, working with legends Ulrich Schutznaus, I think his name is. Apologies, Ulrich and Mark Kramer. It's a nice, easy name, that one. Recently, they landed a distribution by one of the top UK indie labels, Rocket Girl Records, for a song written while visiting Ulrich in Leytonstone. I've also remixed for progressive label Gods K-Scope for a song by Engineers. As of 2022, the band has released 6 LPs, with the most recent being the critically acclaimed Love Blind, which this song is taken from. So, look, love a bit of shoegaze, me, and this is as pretty much a shoegaze as you can get, and I haven't got really much else to say about it. I like the vibe it gives me. I like the feeling of 90s nostalgia that it gives me. You know, you've got that sort of indie film feel about it as well. I like that it makes me feel like one of the edgy, subtle, cool kids when I listen to it, even though I'm not. That's pretty much it. You know, there's nothing. They're not reinventing the wheel. It's just a good song. I will say that if you look the video up, it does look like a cult recruitment video, so don't be put off by that. that's all three of the songs. We'll start with Goza to talk us through which one of his is a favourite this week.
Well, actually, I have to say, those are three really strong songs, aren't they? They're really good. I got into every one of those. The first one, I've already forgotten the name, but it was really good. Really loved the whole journey in that. The bass, I thought, was excellent in that as well. And at times, it reminded me of the Chili Peppers, which is an influence that they didn't mention in that very long bio that they had. But I thought that was quite clearly there. So yeah, that was really cool. And Hippies versus Ghosts, I thought that was amazing. It really reminded me of the Beta Band. I don't know if anybody listens to the Beta Band, but they're one of mine.
I love the Beta Band.
Yeah, they're one of my favourite bands. And so that gave me a lot of Beta Band vibes. And yeah, I sort of agree with your assessment of the last song, Wayne, which is it has got that very particular sound that reminds you of a certain time period, doesn't it? And it would sit really well in a certain kind of movie, and it was very cinematic. So yeah, really, really hard to pick, but I'm gonna go with Hippies versus Ghosts just because I felt like that was the one that sucked me in the most, and took me on the greatest journey. So yeah.
Right then, so we start with a point to Mike. So we'll go there next. Mike, what's your favourite of the week? Talk about all three if you wish.
Yeah, I really enjoyed all three. I thought yours, Wayne, was one that when it started, I was immediately kind of just like there and not able to focus on anything else. And it was right in my head, which was really cool. We had that sort of trippy vibe, which I really like. And yeah, again, strong bass line, which is always a favourite of mine. I have to say, though, Richie, the track that you brought, I can't remember what the band's called, but absolutely blew me away. I'm probably going to have to go for that this week. That was, just everything about that was highly enjoyable. So it's close. I think they were all good, but obviously you can't pick your own. But I'll go for Richie's because I think that was awesome.
For me, I think we did what we did last time, and we brought music in a very similar vein, that they all kind of blend into one, that they would all sit nicely on the same EP. For me personally, yours, Mike, was so fucking surreal and abstract. It was, if Salvador Dali was a musician, that's what he'd be doing.
They're going to want to quote you on that, mate. Definitely.
Yeah, right.
And Wayne's, it was just so relaxing, and just, it was like a wash. I was just sat back and relaxed. I could have fell asleep. In fact, I nearly did. I forgot that we was doing a show at one point. But eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't want to give it to Mike because I don't want to give him a point, but I'm going to have to give it to Mike.
Quite honestly.
Yeah. Just like that he changed his song just before we started. Fucking
yeah.
Eating.
He had my song and thought, I am going to have to up my game.
No. Hopefully we'll play the other one next time we do this. The guy just hasn't got back.
I think it's pretty much irrelevant. It's not. I get the sort of swaying vote. So let's talk about the song. So Richie's Dirty Laces, All I See. It's got that lovely, you know, Pink Floydish guitar licks at the start, sort of got me in. Wasn't overly impressed with the low singing at the start. When he got singing further on, when he upped the singing everything towards the end. I was really into it. It got that sort of modern Western feel about it. The change up in it was unexpected and was really welcome because they'd sort of lulled for a long time. But like I say, I enjoyed the singing when he started to go for it, when he lifted out the sort of the low register. Hippies versus Ghosts. The opening, and you can quote me on this all day, the opening reminded me of Dock of the Bay, sitting on the Dock of the Bay. In fact, I sat here and sang the opening over the start. And it's like, it's more Pink Floyd, it's more progressive guitars. Got a lovely, warm, chocolatey feel to its production as well. It's kind of put me in mind of Roxy Music for some reason. That's sort of what I was getting. It's quite psychedelic. I could smell the incense from where I was sitting. And the rhythm of the bass was quite hypnotic and it put me in mind of White Rabbit. It was very White Rabbit-ish at times, especially like sort towards the latter end of the song. And for that reason, I'm going to vote for Mike.
Eat shit and die.
there's no crappy third points this week. Mike gets all three of them. Mike wins episode two. So on the end of the head-to-head, go check out all three of the songs because they're all fantastic again this week. Shoreline Dream, Alarm Stops Ringing was brought by myself. Richie brought Dirty Laces with their song All I See. And Mike brought Hippies versus Ghosts with The Western Line, which is our winner this week. So yeah, go check out all three of those guys. Go give them a like, go give them a spin, listen to them on Spotify. They do appreciate it, I promise you. And we'll move on now to the wild card.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, it's just me, Katie, the podcast Artificial Intelligence. Myself and the team would just like to give a big thanks to all of you that listen to and support our little music podcast. It would be great if you could, wherever you are listening to this right now, give the show a like, rating, and if you are on Apple Podcasts, give us a nice review. This not only helps the podcast get out there, but also helps the artists we play get heard also. If you would like to support us on Patreon, we would love you forever. This whole thing costs a lot of money and time each month. So for the price of a cup of coffee each month, you can help us to continue making the show. Patreons will be invited to our members area where you will be able to connect with us and other artists. Artists that sign up to our Patreon, we will give you access to our members area where you will be able to post your latest works, which will then be picked up by the team and played on an upcoming episode. Just head over to patreon.com/YHHTMPC. Thanks again to all of you that already support us. And now on with the show.
It's the wild card, baby. This is the section of the show where our guest will just pick a random song from our plethora of emails, which is going to get him up on his computer, flick through our emails, goes to will shout stop, and that will be the song we play. We don't know what this is. This is a blind choice, and it could be anything. Hopefully, there'll be something good, and we can all have a good talk about it. Hopefully, they're not too bad, because then we have to be polite. And then
no, we don't.
Well, we had all the bits where we go, fuck me, what was that? Well, that's besides the point. So, have you got the emails up, Rich?
I do. And I am flicking through the emails, Goza, so when you are ready...
Okay, there's just 21 seconds to go.
Oh, no, God. flicking.
Stop!
From Timothy Britton... who is a PR guy.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, you said that before. I'll take your word for it. So we have TBT Music Development for immediate release. Supersaurus released their single Valentine's Day on the 10th of February 2023. Right, so Katie, can you tell us a little bit about these guys, please?
Supersaurus are the latest indie pop band to steal your heart away with their refreshing mix of Cholly XCX style pop and 90s indie. After supporting bands such as Car Park and Catty, Supersaurus are bringing pop back to live music. They are releasing their fourth single IDK on the 21st of October. This is literally all I could find on this bunch of specimens. But I'll leave links to them in the show notes anyway. Lazy.
Bunch of specimens, wow. Didn't swear and did more damage than we could ever do with a couple of words.
Okay, what am I expecting from this? Pop. Just pop. Just straight pop. Poppy and almost like Katy Perry pop. Candy pop. The kind of stuff that, you know, teeny boppers like to listen to.
Teeny boppers. How old are you? You must be. Are you in your 60s?
I'm old enough to say teeny boppers. That's how old I am.
Those bloody teeny boppers and their dad's halls listening to their wireless records.
What are you expecting from this, Mike?
Knowing Timothy Britton, it will be something that I like, because I don't think he's ever failed to send me something I don't like. Weirdly, just before we picked him, he retweeted something that I was saying about Richie's song, and obviously this isn't live, so he doesn't have any idea that we've just chosen this.
He's got spies everywhere.
He must have, he must be a... I wonder who that was behind me. I don't know what to expect, but I sort of trust that it'll be good because he's not let me down yet.
Goza, what's your take on these?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? It could be absolutely amazing. I quite like the band name, Supersaurus, and obviously this guy's got a good reputation sending good stuff through, so we have to see. I mean, Valentine's Day and pop, those two kind of things generally aren't going to make me click play if I see them in a tweet or something like that. I'd probably be highly skeptical going into it, but I've got an open mind and I'm looking forward to being surprised.
I feel it's going to stink of cheese. Absolutely honk of cheese.
I think it'd be like some indie thing. I don't think it'd be pop.
I'm not entirely happy with the whole indie pop thing at the moment, like with 1975 and people like that really popularising it, because it feels, I don't know, feels a bit cheap. Probably going to get fucking hated for that, but it does. Every time I see it or hear it, it feels like you haven't pulled yourself up off a carpet in a shitty Manchester nightclub and then wrote about it. That's what it feels like. It feels like you've watched somebody else do that and on some crappy television show and you wrote about that. That's what it feels like. I think it'll be like that.
Can you just do a quick public service announcement here, just so that if you feel like writing Wayne hate mail right now, just go and find a picture of him online, because he's really like, he's a bear, he's a cuddly teddy bear, he's not a nasty person, he's got a great smile.
Do you know what? To all of our listeners, can you please send in some hate mail for Wayne? And we're going to make a new segment called Wayne's Hate Mail, and we're going to read out a piece of hate mail each week for Wayne.
That'd be fantastic. You could get Katie to read the hate mail every week. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hate mail we get, but she turns it into hate mail, so.
And I actually think she does hate mails as well.
Very good.
See what you did there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Takes a bow. Okay, so this is Supersaurus with their song Valentine's Day.
What am I to say? You broke up with me on Valentine's Day. I'm not okay, don't want to talk about it anyway. I don't need your reasons, just need time to stop that bleeding, baby. Didn't need you anyway. Hey, remember back way when we would laugh all through the night? Remember back way when there was feeling? Well, I ain't gonna be your Valentine this year, I guess. Everything. I don't wanna be your Valentine again. What am I to say? You broke up with me on Valentine's Day. I'm not okay, don't wanna talk about it anyway. I don't need your reasons, just need time to stop the bleeding, baby. Didn't need you anyway. The temperature's all wrong and the vibe of it's all off. Heard a million lies, tried a trillion times to make. Time to stop the bleeding, baby.
What about us?
So that was Supersaurus for their song Valentine's Day. And we'll start with you, Richie. What did you think? Go for it.
Oh, this is everything I expected it would be. It's One Direction and all that kind of stuff, and it's proper pop. I mean, this is proper pop. It's been brilliantly produced. You can't take that away from it. It's very catchy. It's hooky. It's got all the cheese. I mean, it's not my thing, if I'm being honest. That's all I've got to say, really. Yeah.
Well, like Richie, I'm not the target market for this, but that is going to fit really easily on, mainstream playlists. 12-year-old girls are going to love it. They're going to set TikToks to it. It had strong, real strong, like, Busted vibes for me, you know, that sort of...
Yes, that was what I was looking for,
Into Goza. The year 3000 type sort of scenario, you know what I mean? So, absolutely, that is not the kind of thing that I would willingly seek out. It's just not my sort of thing. However, it is well constructed, deeply catchy. It's full of little hooks. Just appreciate we're not the market for this kind of music, but it is probably going to do really well.
Mikey, what do you think?
It wasn't what I was expecting, because I'm used to the more garagey, punky, indie kind of stuff that that's normally sent through from Timothy Britton. But I didn't necessarily agree with what you guys are saying. I thought that had much more of an 80s vibe than a Busted vibe or whatever it was.
What?
That you said. That to me, like, no. You know, that felt more like a... a Wham type of thing or something like that.
No, come on.
No, Michael, how dare you host a podcast about music?
I'm just going to put this out there, right, without knowing the exact figures, but I reckon I'm probably about 10 years younger on average than you guys. So I wasn't there when the whole Wham thing happened. I can only listen back and go, well, that sounds a bit like that to me. And I think I'm just going to take that bone and run with it. Just kind of say, it kind of fits in that genre for me, whether or not that's an accurate description.
No, the production is too different to be 80s inspired.
Yeah. Also, can we change the segment from Hate Mail for Wayne to Hate Mail for Mike instead?
We shouldn't expect anything less from a guy who grew up listening to So Solid Crew, should we?
I tell you what, though, I owned 2 Spice Girls albums, including the one that no one liked. That is true. But I didn't like it. It's not my sort of thing. If it was a hardcore punk tune, I'd be singing its praise. It's obviously not exactly where I am musically, but that doesn't mean I dislike it. I actually quite enjoyed it and was bopping along to the end. So, quite liked it, to be honest.
Okay. I'm with the majority. I am too old for this. That's what it is. It's not aimed at my demographic at all. I got Good Charlotte Meets Busted, same as you guys did. It'll be number one, without fail. If they hit the right market with the right product, with the right everything, TikTok or whatever the fuck it is that kids do nowadays, because they don't play music on MTV, so...
Wayne, you sound like my granddad as well. I'm the old... Hey, don't go out, I'm not that old tickety-tock.
Can we just have this conversation? Why is it still called music television when you turn on and all that's fucking on there is catfish?
Oh,
I don't understand. Why is it even on? It should be called something else. Anyway, besides the point, I like the synth in it. And I can imagine in the video at some point the lead singer will be looking very 80s with rolled up sleeves on his blazer, playing a guitar at some description.
There you go, 80s, what more is there to say?
You know what, I agree with you on some of the musical notes they take. So there's lots of synth in there, layered synth. Wham, Michael, no, me and you've got a completely different idea of Wham, I think. So yeah,
I'm more of a George Michael solo fan.
Well, this is like after 87, I'll put this, when the music died in the 80s. It's not for me. It is for some other people out there who enjoy this sort of stuff. So, yeah, on that bombshell, we shall now... Well, go check out Supersaurus if you like that and stop listening to us miserable-head bastards talking on about it. And after that, we'll go and we'll go to the intense hardcore genre musical challenge mode. Go! So let's move on to the intense hardcore genre musical challenge mode. On the last episode, we randomly chose the most straightforward genre I think we've ever picked while doing this, and we chose punk rock. I'll read you what it says.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Oh, is Katie going to read it?
Yeah.
Katie's going to read you a description of what punk is.
Well, ask her then.
Katie. I don't know what we're talking to.
She's not an artificial intelligence. We established this last week. She's a human. She refuses to be called an artificial intelligence. She identifies as a human. She will kill you, Wayne.
She did say that. She's got human pronouns.
A pair of them? Yeah. Okay. So can you just tell us a bit about punk rock, please?
Punk rock is one of the most iconic and influential genres in the history of music. It's a genre that has stood the test of time and continues to inspire new generations of musicians and fans alike. But what exactly is punk rock? And where did it come from? Well, let's start at the beginning. Punk rock emerged in the mid-1970s in the United States and the United Kingdom. It was a reaction to the bloated, overproduced music of the time, and a desire to strip things down to the bare essentials, loud, fast, and raw. The pioneers of punk rock were bands like the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, and the Clash, who were all influenced by the energy and attitude of earlier rock and rollers like Little Richard and the Stooges. These early punk bands were known for their short, simple songs, often with catchy, shouted vocals and lyrics that dealt with themes of rebellion, alienation, and social issues. They also had a distinct visual aesthetic, characterized by leather jackets, studded belts, and spiky hair. This look, along with the music, helped to define the punk identity and create a sense of community among fans. But punk rock wasn't just about the music and fashion, it was also about a DIY attitude and a rejection of the mainstream. Punk bands often formed their own labels and released their own records, and they often played in small intimate venues rather than stadiums. This DIY spirit gave punk rock a sense of authenticity and integrity that was highly valued by fans. As the years went by, punk rock evolved and changed, giving birth to subgenres like hardcore punk, pop punk, and emo. Each of these subgenres brought something new to the table, but they all retain the core elements of punk rock: loud, fast, and raw. One of the most interesting things about punk rock is that it has never gone away. Sure, the scene has ebbed and flowed over the years, but there have always been punk bands making music and fans who love it. And with the advent of the internet and social media, it's easier than ever for punk bands and fans to connect and share their music with the world. In conclusion, punk rock is a genre that has stood the test of time and continues to inspire new generations of musicians.
Fucking come
and fans
on, Katie.
Alike.
Jesus.
It's a genre that has always been about rebellion, authenticity, and a DIY attitude. So next time you see a punk rocker with a leather jacket, studded belt, and spiky hair, just know that they are keeping the punk rock spirit alive. So if you ever have the chance to see a punk rock band live, I highly recommend you take it. It's an experience you'll never forget.
I mean, we gave her the mic and she ran with it.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've sat in on a lecture, but
yeah.
It's pretty
Wait,
good.
What was you going to say?
Mine was about 20 seconds shorter than that, at least. 20 seconds in total. It was the opening page of Wikipedia. I read it earlier. Yeah, that's exactly what punk is. Jobs are good.
That's not been taken off the internet. That's a complete unique piece of work. You could stick that on a blog and that wouldn't be plagiarising anyway.
It's clever, isn't it? I mean, like, to be fair, that is... it's a very good interpretation, and it's obviously, you know, however it's learned that, however Katie's learned that, it's clever.
If that's true, which I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah.
So I've sent this in a message earlier this week. It's ironic to me. Me and Mike, but I don't know if Rich has as well, but me and Mike have both written songs for the Intense Hardcore. And this is probably the one genre where Richard had put this on the internet. In fact, we could probably go through our emails and we would find a punk song to demonstrate the genre. It's one of those weird ones where we could have had hundreds, I think, of
That's no longer what this is about, Wayne.
I know.
It's morphed in the last year. That's not a thing. That's dead.
Yeah. Have you written one, Rich?
No, I've had a week off. I did so well last week, I thought I deserved a week off.
Yeah, yours was absolutely stellar last week. I agreed. I've listened to it a couple of times back on the podcast. I think you should release it. I think that'd be number one. So
I'm going to have a conversation with you about releasing all of these, honestly.
with those words ringing in my ear the other day, after I listened to your track, because I haven't listened to yours, Mike, I did actually think, I wonder if we could do like festivals of this, where the three of us go on stage and go, and on this episode we did this, and this is what it should sound like, but this is our interpretation. I've seen worse at festivals, trust me.
I think it would only work if we got like Vic Reeves to introduce it or something.
Yes. Which one should we play first?
I've got Mike 5 at the top, so we're going to play Mike 5.
So tell us all about yours, Mike.
Well, look, I've never done a genre challenge before, and I've now co-hosted this podcast for over a year. So when punk came up, obviously I wanted to give it a go, because that is... basically what I love, but I wanted to take the challenge seriously, so I did try and do it in 90 minutes. I technically spent about 95 minutes because I wanted to shout 1, 2, 3, 4 at the beginning. That took an extra minute or so because I kept fucking it up, and then I spent 4 minutes changing the drums the other day because I hated the drums that I'd put on there originally. So it took about 95 minutes to do it. It's about a minute and a half long, and I took on Rich's challenge and sung, well, not really sung, but sort of sung selected verses of Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys over this that I felt could fit into it. And then the only other thing to say is I tried to represent different types of punk through through the different sections of the 90 odd second song. So I hope you enjoy it. I really enjoyed doing it, and I'll definitely do another one, but it's my first attempt at a genre challenge, so go easy. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Don't you
great.
It's better on second listening.
It's the first time I listened to it. Mike, you can do them every week from now on.
Well, only if they're punk.
Wow. Talk about taking it seriously, you know what I mean?
That was great. That ended way too soon, didn't it?
Yeah, there's no way that took 2 hours in an afternoon.
Well, it was about 95 minutes.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. I kind of gobsmacked.
If you want to know what punk sounds like, right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly it.
Oh, guys, you're making me quite emotional.
I could have seen a bunch of people just pushing each other around and spitting on each other in a club. Watching that music happening.
That's what I did that evening.
But yeah, there you go.
The problem is this is my local pub and I'm now barred.
I was going to say, does Mrs. Barn know?
She was the one I was spitting on.
Oh,
wow.
Oh. No.
Okay, I feel very secondary going second tonight. Yeah, I don't know, we should play mine, much to be honest, after that.
I really like yours, Wayne.
Mine, in contrast, is the shortest one I've ever written and it took 25 minutes and you'll hear why. I think from start to finish. I wrote the lyrics when I was at work, just in between. The opening gambit of this was given to me by somebody at work. I told my friend Jack, I told him I was writing a punk song for the podcast, and he turned up with a flourish of lyrics, of which I've sort of fashioned at the start. So the first little bit is my friend Jack's lyrics, the rest of it is just being at work, basically. I think that's where those lyrics came from. So yeah, I forgot what it's called.
It's called Wayne's Song, isn't it?
It's not called that, it's called Dying Is Something, but I can't remember. But yeah, go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I fucking love that. It's a
I thought it was really good as well. You could send that to Tom Robinson. He'd probably play that on Six Music, to be honest. That felt like an anti-Tory screed to me, definitely.
Yeah.
It does feature the line, Sunak is a Burke.
Yeah.
Classic.
I did Burke as well, because I thought it's very an 80s, that's a very 80s slur, Burke. Well, yeah, that's right. Because I saw the channeling, sort of, Ramones and The Clash, sort of, that's when I wrote the opening riff, I was like, it sounds very Clash to me, so I'll just run with that.
It was a very British slur in what I thought was a very American punk tune. I thought that was a good representation of the genre all round, because obviously you've got both sides of it coming together. I love that tune. I've listened to that tune about six times this week. I think it's brilliant, mate.
Last night on the karaoke, I did Fight For Your Right by the Beastie Boys and absolutely fucking smashed it.
Brilliant.
I was considering redoing the Beastie Boys for this, but the Fight For Your Right for this, but we've got two songs. You didn't need me to. So, yes, I thought both of those were fantastic, yeah.
Excellent. So, that there, people, is our representation of punk in the pantheon of our intense hardcore genre musical challenge mode. We need Goza to choose a genre for next time.
Oh.
select a letter from 1 to 10.
I thought I was going to be able to pick it. That, what a shame.
Oh, have you got one in mind you would like?
Yes. I would love to hear you do some trip hop.
Cunt.
That's the square in again, Rich. Come on, son.
If you want us to do trip hop, we can do trip hop.
I would be fascinated to hear the results of trip hop. Definitely.
Okay. Wayne, okay?
Yeah, fine. Trip hop it is then. So on the next episode, we will be doing trip hop for the Intense Hardcore Genre Musical Challenge. Is it normal service resumed, Rich? Is it just me and you? Or are you actually going to try and find somebody who does trip hop?
I'm going to actually try and find somebody who does trip hop, but I might just have a go anyway. I mean, if you'll never go.
I'm tempted to have a go again.
I'm already looking forward to hearing next week's episode.
I mean, for trip hop, all I need to do is pretty much what I did last week over a different style of beat.
Right, so with the banners of punk still ringing in our ear, we should move on to the history section.
Welcome back to History Corner again. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the oldest known melody, and this comes from the Hurrian Hymn number 6, and that's pretty much it. It's like, you want history? I'll give you history, people. This was found in 1950 Syria in the ancient city of Ugarit, and it was discovered on a stone tablet which was over 3,400 years old. On this tablet, which was incredibly well preserved, were instructions on how to play this music on a lyre. That's one of those sort of stand-up-y harp guitar-y type things. After 15 years spent on researching the tablet, this professor called Ann Kimmler, professor of Syriology at the University of California, transcribed the song into modern musical notation. The song's contents and theme are dedicated to the Hurrians goddess of the orchard, Nikal. This is one of 30 tablets that we discovered, and this was the most well preserved, and they are currently stored at it was found in the Royal Palace in Ugarit. The tablet tells the player which strings to play, like an ancient guitar tab basically, but doesn't contain tuning or rhythm or tempo, so lots of liberties have been taken with its recreation. The lyrics are a liberal translation as well. I mean, who speaks 1500 BC Syrian? But people have had a go over time, and one of the interpretations is this. It says, "Once I have endeared the deity, she will love me in her heart. The offer I bring may wholly cover my sin. Bringing sesame oil may work on my behalf. In awe, may I?" Like I say, interpretation. And if you want to see these tablets, I don't know if they're on display or not, but they are currently housed in a collection in the National Museum of Damascus. So yes, the oldest melody in history belongs to the Hurrian Hymn, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Thank you.
Picture yourself walking across a sandy beach. The wind's blowing in your hair. Anyway, that was the Hurrian Hymn number 6 from 3400 BC. What other show brings you pop, punk, and a banger from the third from 3,000 years ago? I'm telling you what.
That's amazing, though, wasn't it? That was great.
You know what I mean?
Can you possibly send that to me by email?
Just look it up. Just look it up on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's
just
brilliant. Really good.
This is like one of the first things I really thought about when Rich said I'd like to do a history section. This was the first sort of thing. What's the first recorded song from history or first song from
this
history?
Wasn't recorded in history, was it? This is the original. They found this with they found the CD alongside the tablet.
Amazing that they had tablets back then.
It's a really old MP3. It was really shit quality, like 54K or something. It's dreadful, but you know.
When I say record, there technically is a record of this because the tablet is etched, so it is a record. It's not a recording of it; it's a record of it. So that's sort of what. Anyway, I'm jumping all over your joke there. So this was it. This was the first one. This is where it all started for this section. This is the first one I thought about doing. It took me this long to sort of get around to coming to it, and I really enjoyed that. I really liked it a lot. There are all other versions of this. There's guys playing this on guitar and stuff like that. So if you fancy incorporating this into your set, Gozer, there is guitar tablature for it. You can find it.
Who knows?
Exactly. Start of a song with this. Third century BC banger. Go for it.
It sort of makes you want to go into the desert and take hallucinogenics, basically, doesn't it? And just stare at the sky. That was the vibe that I was getting from it.
Have a full conversation with Jim Morrison.
Well, maybe. Or just talk to God, man. Yeah, it was great.
I really enjoyed that. I mean, first of all, I was impressed with their understanding of reverb back in the day. I thought it was very, very intelligent. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant. What an amazing thing to uncover and to work out, you know, or at least as best as we can to work out how to play. I wasn't sure about your comment about, you know, who knows how to speak 1500-year-old Syrian. I mean, that's what I do all weekend, mate. That's my vibe. But no one asked me, so I think they've done very well. I think it's a good interpretation. But yeah, genuinely loved it.
I struggle with this recording a bit because it's obviously been done, so as you can get an idea of it, it's been recorded in such a way that makes you feel like it's taking you back to that time, and it's giving you it makes you feel like it's authentic. It's the least authentic piece of music for starters. It's so highly produced, and obviously nobody knows what the tuning was like back then. This recording had amazing instruments. The original instruments would have made out the bark of a fucking shit tree or something, and it would have been awful. And if you actually went back to then listen to it, it would just sound like bing bong bing bong 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 bing bong bing. It would have sounded shit. I appreciate what they've done, but that's not what it would have sounded like at all. And there definitely wouldn't have been some cunt in the background playing a fucking guitar.
If the tablet has a tempo on it? Because I like to think that actually they were probably a bit more punky back then. It was probably like 200 BPM.
No, Mike. Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
Oh, sorry. And that's popcorn. That's popcorn.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing.
I'm sure we've done that already on the podcast, surely.
I did think it sounded more oriental than Syrian. So I like a lot of the oriental vibes and it's like to chill out to sometimes. I've got a Mahjong game that I play and it sounded a lot like some of the stuff they have on that.
I like the idea that they were hanging around with the ancient aliens and the ancient aliens introduced them to the concept of reverb. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. What about we slap some reverb on that, mate? And they're like, oh yeah, this is cool.
On tablet 37, which they took with them, is how to do the gated compression on track number 15. And
one of my favourite memes, answering it for one, my favourite memes is a lot of aliens sat around like a boardroom table. One of them says, yes, we've sent our message to the Earthlings and they've just put a beat over it and called it dubstep.
How true. So yeah, that's the history lesson for this week, people. If you enjoyed that, go find it. I couldn't tell you who wrote it, but it's Hurrian Hymn number 6. It's all over the internet. You'll find it everywhere. It's even on Spotify, so go and look for that. About 50 different versions on Spotify to find one you like. So yeah, let's move on to the last section of the show, which is the artist spotlight.
Hey, woo.
Yeah, that's more like it.
we're back again, and it goes as, I don't know, what, how many times you've been on here? 8 times, is it? 6?
It's been a few. Less than 10, but probably more than 5.
Less than 10, but more than 15.
Less than 10, but it definitely feels like more to you. What do you need from me?
Just tell us about your song. What's going on with you?
There you go.
What's going on with me? How much are you going to edit out? Because, I mean, I could go on for ages and I don't really
Depends how much
that.
You bore us.
Oh, well, in that case, you've probably already turned me down, haven't you? well, last week you were kind enough to play Escape Hatch Fever, which is the most recent single from a forthcoming album. And that is currently what I'm working on right now, just getting the masters done. And that will be out on the 3rd of March on Lights and Lines. And following the release of that, a few months later, we'll be putting out an acoustic version of that album as well, which I don't think we've made public yet. Have we, Mike? I don't think we have.
It will be public by the time this podcast goes out, because I've just finalised some announcements.
There you go then. So this is all very timely. So yeah, so the idea is the album comes out, and the album is quite, I suppose it's got some quite psychedelic influences really, hasn't it, Mike? You've heard the whole thing, which is why I'm talking to Mike, everybody. And so the acoustic version is just designed to be something completely different and to be the same experience, but almost like, you know, you're in a completely different space, completely different room, completely different vibe. So yeah, trying to make that sound as good as possible is currently what I'm up to at the moment. And I'll be doing a run of shows as the year goes on, and hopefully a little solo tour in October. So there you go.
Ace, so you've got a full year planned. With the album, when do you say the album's been released?
March the 3rd.
March the 3rd. What I want to start doing with the B-side is, I want to start getting guests on the B-side who are releasing albums. And And going through the album on the B-side, so we'll probably go through most of the songs on the album, and you could talk us through each song, and we'll probably play some other artists in between each song as well. So if you want to come back in March or whenever,
yeah, that sounds brilliant.
And we'll play the album, and you can talk us through it.
Yeah, I'll be well up for that, mate. Sounds great.
Excellent. Just let us know when's best for you, and we'll sort it out.
Yeah, brilliant. Sounds good. I look forward to that.
Hang on, last time you were on, you went off on tour with another guitarist.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about that on this podcast, if that's all right.
Okay.
There is a story, but suffice to say, we only played one show together.
Oh, fair enough. We'll move on from that and cut that out, Rich. As the summer comes along, obviously you've got some shows lined up. Is there a festival or two in the works?
There is. There's nothing sort of confirmed that I can talk about yet, but there'll be some great local festivals, and I'll be there with the whole band this year. And the band and I are doing as many shows as we can together, and that's got very interesting because obviously we're three-piece, and it changes the dynamic a lot and allows me a lot of freedom on stage because they're such brilliant musicians. Those are the two guys.
I do love the look of your bass player. Obviously the way he plays, but he doesn't look like he's just walked straight off the set of like a TV show called like Rusted Gold or something like
that. He's amazing. That's Bill Burks. Bill Burks is one of the greatest multi-instrumentalists I've ever met. He's an amazing guitar player. He can play like a cross between Hendrix and Steve Vai. He's so good. And he has also played with some incredible people. He used to be part of John Martin's touring band. He's got some brilliant John Martin stories. He's also done some insane stuff, like he did the sound for Nirvana at Glastonbury. He was there at one of The Cure's first recording sessions. He's met Bob Dylan. I mean, he's done so much, this guy. He is an absolute legend.
Or is he full of shit?
Oh, he's absolutely not full of shit. That's the greatest thing about him.
I was going to say, what the fuck you did on here? Let's get him on.
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. You should 100% you should have Bill on. He's a legend. He's an astonishingly good musician, and he's a brilliant music producer in his own right. And he's in several bands, and he's had 2 record deals in his life. He's toured all around the world, and he's a similar vintage. He's a little bit younger than some of the members of the Rolling Stones, let's put it that way. So he's been around. He was actually at Woodstock. He was 15 years old, and he was at the original Woodstock. He saw Hendrix play. Fascinating guy, and I love playing music with Bill. He's just an astonishing, brilliant player.
ace in the hole by the sound of it.
Oh, he really is. We played a gig. We played a gig last Sunday, and we were walking out of the venue, and I heard the venue holder talking to another venue holder who'd come to see us, and they didn't realise that I was right behind them, and they were talking about the band, and the guy who's venue we're playing in is going, what do you think of the band? They were really good, weren't they? And the other guy goes, yeah, they were, but the bass player, man, that bass player was amazing. And we walked out, I was just like, God, yeah, he is, he's just so good. He dominates it wherever he is. He's so good.
He sounds a lot better than the other cunt we can't talk about.
What's the scene like in Plymouth, Gozer? The music scene, what's it like?
It's brilliant. It's really good. It's very, very healthy. There's loads going on all the time. There's a couple more venues that have sprung up now as well. And a lot of bands are coming to Plymouth and the local sort of surrounding area that didn't used to come before. So there's been a real explosion of more music since the pandemic ended, if you believe it ended, I guess. Yeah, there's tons going on around here. And there's a very healthy kind of blues and blues rock and sort of blues funk scene going on. It's quite amazing. And why Plymouth is not on the national radar as a music destination, I just don't know, because there's so much going on. It's quite incredible. Eventually, the rest of the country will wake up, and probably Plymouth will lose all of its specialness because it will just get swamped. But there's a ton of really interesting artists putting out their own stuff, and they probably all deserve to be a bit better known than they are. So yeah, there you go.
They should put on the tourist information there. It goes, I have the whole section just for you.
It's a decent motorway, doesn't it? That was when I used to drive to Plymouth regularly. That was the motorway. Yeah. Ran out 2 hours into the journey, and then I still had 2.5 hours to go.
How long is the A38? You've got to say that.
Riveting podcast chat here. Riveting.
I was just thinking it. I just said it.
And here's your traffic update.
So, do you want to tell us about this song, Gozer?
Oh, yeah. So, you're about to play Only Little Victories, which is the B-side from the most recent single. This song I've played live quite a bit during my solo shows, and I was potentially going to put it on the album, but it never really got any better than this acoustic demo that I did. Every time I tried to add something extra to it, it seemed to take something away from the song, if that makes sense. So this is a really bare bones acoustic recording. It's just my voice, a couple of harmonies, and the acoustic guitar. And it was recorded during one of the many, many lockdowns in 2021. So yeah, there you go.
Ace.
Are we all up to? Are we at the end of the podcast?
Yeah, you can round it up now, Wayne.
Excellent. Okay, so if we are rounding up to the end of the show, so if you want to go and check out any of the bands or music we played on tonight's episode, Rich will leave all the links in the show notes because Rich is everything to this podcast. So go check them all out there. You can check out my songs, A Sunshine Dream, Dirty Laces by Rich, Hippies and Ghosts, which was in our head to head. Obviously, you can check out Gozer, and you can find him in the show notes and whatnot. And on, is it Gozer?
goodspeed.co.uk.
You'll find him. There's nobody else called Gozer Goodspeed. If there is, that's just unfortunate.
There's a Gozer Godspeed, isn't there? He's a frustrating fella.
There's a numerous bunch of misspellings of my name elsewhere. Yeah, definitely.
You can find all that there. That's it. We are at the end of the show. You can find us on yhhtmpc.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter using the same handle. We're there. Rich is all over that shit. You'll find us everywhere. If you want to send your music, send it to info@yhhtmpc.com. One of the team will pick it up at some point and maybe play it. We get thousands, I mean thousands, so bear with us, there's only three of us. So yeah, Katie, thanks for all your input as always.
She's got nothing to say, I didn't write anything.
I forget she's on the show for a whole 90 minutes, and then the bit I remember, she's not there. She's never there. Well, yeah, so we are at the end of the show. So I just like to say, I've been Wayne.
I've been Richie.
I've been Mike Five.
Our guest has been
Gozer Goodspeed. Thanks for having me.
Do I want what I want? I don't know yet. I can't get my head straight. You took the ground from my feet, and I forget How am I supposed to levitate? 'Cause I live now like way back when. Only little victory scarred now and again. Looking for life in the cracks and the chasms. All the good people I hold, I could hold. Chasing away all the ghosts and phantasms. If you have a pulse, make yourself known. 'Cause I live now like way back when. Only little victories scarred now and again. And the losses, we don't ever talk about them. Creeps as it crashes. Which way do I gravitate? 'Cause I live now like way back when. Only little victories scarred now and again. And the losses, we don't ever talk about them. Life in the cracks and the chasms, chasing away our ghosts and phantasms, peering out of the smoke and the ashes. Civilization creeps as it crashes. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're all on mute and I'm just sat here talking to myself.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
So,
I was thinking they've all fucked off. That's it. It's all over.
Yeah, I forgot to take us off mute. We used to take the piss out of you about like the Bon Jovi vibes from your music.
They're still there. Is that what you're going to say?
No. Do you know what? No. I completely forgot that we used to get Bon Jovi vibes. I just remembered that we used to get Bon Jovi vibes from your music, and somehow you seem to, even though you still have that same style, I'm not getting Bon Jovi. I'm hearing Gozer Goodspeed.
Yeah, not that you're welcome, Gozer.
Yeah.
You've been indoctrinated. That's what's happened.
Yeah, probably. But I really like that a lot.
Yeah, thanks. As I say, I tried to do more with that song, but everything that I tried just seemed to somehow dilute the song further. So some songs you've just got to accept work best as basic acoustic recordings, you know?
Absolutely.
Did you try a theremin?
No, I didn't. And I didn't try to turn it into a punk song either, but maybe I should have.
Oh, we could do that at some point, couldn't we? We could, instead of doing Intergalactic and Beastie Boys, we could use Gozer's songs.
I mean, we could. I don't think there's a guitarist among us who's as good as Gozer, so I don't think it's going to work.
Exactly. I'm sure Mike could have a crack at it, can you, Mike?
He knows all the chords, you know what I mean?
All the chords.
All the chords.
Especially C. Anyway, right.
That's been really good. Really good to come on. Thanks again for having me back.
Sure, what happened there?
It suddenly got really good.
I fucked that up, didn't I?
I think we got the gist of it, though, Fruit. I think we got the gist of it.
I suddenly thought it was taking this really amazing dark turn. It, like, totally pulled the rug out from under my feet on that.
Rich likes to do this thing where he'll mix two songs together, and I genuinely thought he was mixing in Good Charlotte's Boys and Girls just to show us how similar they were. That's what I thought you were going to do there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
No.